It's Saturday, May the 2nd, day 42. We've just had a Saturday evening Zoom supper with several members of our family. My wife and I were at home, and the others were in their respective locked-down lairs around the country. The supper consisted of all of us agreeing to meet virtually at a given time, log on to Zoom, and eat whatever we had individually cooked while having the kind of casual conversations we would have had if we'd been sitting across the table together in the old days, that is to say, 2 months ago. 12 months ago, if you'd said that families would be doing this, people would have concluded that you'd been smoking something illegal. So perhaps the strangest thing about this evening's meal was how relatively normal it seemed. This is a testimony, I suppose, to the endless adaptability of our species, or maybe to the fact that necessity is the mother of invention. In a digital world, we've become accustomed to very fast adaptation. But what we've gone through in the last few months is really without precedent. As Mary Meeker, a veteran observer of the tech industry, observed the other day, it took Instagram 2 years to get to 100 million users. And the Fortnite game took 18 months to go from zero to the same number. But Zoom has gone from 10 million to 200 million plus users in just 3 months. And so just as Google became a verb many years ago, my guess is that to Zoom someone will soon be shorthand for have a video meeting with him or her. The trouble with Zoom, though, as the Financial Times journalist Belita Clark observed the other day, is that it came without an instruction manual. And the experience over the last 2 months suggests that it badly needs one, if only because most of those who now find themselves obliged to use it for work had zero experience of video conferencing before. Sure, they may have used Skype or FaceTime to connect with family and friends, but for work meetings, well, rarely if ever. So actually, we're at the stage now with this technology that people were in the 1930s with the telephone, when the phone companies made helpful instructional films about how to make a call, how to introduce yourself, how to end a call, and so on. Already I've lost count of the number of times I've seen well-intentioned people fail to agree on who should initiate a Zoom meeting. Instead, each one tries to start a Zoom call independently. Then there are misunderstandings about the difference between a meeting ID and a password, the importance of muting your mic until you need to speak, how to virtually raise your hand when you want to speak, how to conduct a private text chat on the side, how not to talk over another participant, and how to share your screen with your colleagues. Or actually, perhaps more importantly, how not to share your screen unintentionally with your colleagues. Now, of course, these are all teething problems, and people will eventually adjust to the medium, just as they've stopped opening mobile phone conversations with the question, where are you? And already, codes of Zoom etiquette are starting to appear. I'm just looking at one now in the Financial Times. Do not be a Zoom bore, it says. Learn how to use the mute button. Don't interrupt constantly. Don't be a broadband snob. Just because you have fibre to your home doesn't mean that everyone else working from home has fibre too. So do not sneer at their fuzzy, freezing images. Instead, politely suggest that it might help to turn off their camera to save bandwidth. Here's a recommendation I like. Don't be a background braggart. If you have a lovely designer home and a view over a lake, well done, says the FT. If you work with people who don't, keep your background neutral and don't pick distracting virtual backgrounds. Another good piece of advice. Be careful whom you invite to virtual meetings. The pointless bores who litter corporate life are bad enough in person, but they are utterly toxic on Zoom. Fewer is more should be your rule. And keep the camera on where possible, because video conferencing works best if you can actually see the other people. And finally, says the FT, ignore the ring light. This was a mystery to me until just now. Apparently it's a lighting tool that de-wrinkles the face. If true, then that's definitely cheating. And it reminds me of a famous story about Evelyn Waugh when he was in the army. Whenever he was invited as a guest to a regimental dinner, he would infuriate the commanding officer by asking him if he agreed with him that no officer below the rank of major should be allowed to wear lipstick. Much the same should apply to the ring light on Zoom.